On today's Tech Help for Churches, A/B testing tips. Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Tech Help for Churches. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and you can leave me a comment there, question, snide remark, whatever you'd prefer, or you can find that there you'll have a list of all my contact information. So my email is paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, or there's a voicemail number, 1-877-763-3246. That's 1-877-POD-ECHO. Or if you're just someone that prefers Twitter, no problem. My Twitter handle is Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAlanClif. And you can reach me there. Remember that all three of those names are the shortest possible way to spell them. So it's not the longer spelling of Allen with an E in the middle. It's the shorter one with an A. So, well, actually two A's. So I hope that helps you. And Cliff only has one F, again, because it's Twitter and I'm trying to save characters. So Paul Allen Cliff is a great way to reach me there. Tech Help for Churches is generously provided for by people like you. So I'd love for you to head over to patreon.com/paulallencliff, patreon.com/paulallencliff, PaulAlanClif, and help support the show for as little as a dollar a month. If everyone that watched these shows and followed me on Twitter and read my blog, if everyone just gave a dollar a month, now I realize that's very unrealistic, but if they did, you'd see a lot more topics covered. You'd see an exponential increase in just the quality of these shows, and I think that you'd be really excited by everything that we do. My vision is that eventually this becomes the Twit and the Linda of the church world. So Twit in that if you've visited This Week in Tech, they have tons of shows every day with different hosts explaining different aspects of technology. Imagine if any question that you had about technology in the church could be answered in one place. That's what this could be. And Linda, LYNDA.com is a place where there are just tons of tutorials on every aspect of different software and how to make things work. And imagine again that we had a repository of all these tutorials on church worship software, video editing, Photoshop, After Effects, etc., where you could just go, hey, I wonder how you do thus and so, and you would know that this is the place that you go to do it. So that's all possible. So head on over to patreon.com/paulallencliff and donate today. Okay, so let's talk about A/B testing. I saw a TED talk. If you're not familiar with TED, it's a conference where they bring in experts in various areas. And this guy was talking about how little we know about how the universe works. Now, it's not the case that he was talking about this in light of astronomy and things like that. What he meant was, we think we know what will work for any given situation, but we're often wrong. And when you think about it, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. You think you know what would work in raising your children, but a lot of times you'll try it and it doesn't seem to do what you want it to do. You think you know a good way to be a good spouse, but you try what you're thinking and you don't get the reaction you want. You think you know how to lead out in your church, but you try what you think would work, and it doesn't seem to do what you want. So his example was that there is a company that makes powdered, I believe it was laundry detergent, and there is actually an optimal size and shape of the nozzle that they use to spit out the laundry detergent. But no one guessed what that optimal size and shape was. They just had to test a bunch of them until they found a good one. So think about this in light of politics. Think about this in light of leading your church. What would happen if instead of saying, hey, I know the right way to do it, and we're going to keep doing this until it works, or until someone gets tired enough to make me stop? What if instead of doing it that way, we approached everything from a let's experiment kind of way? A, you know, I've never done this before. Here's an idea. Let's try that. If that doesn't work, let's try another idea. Let's view this whole thing as an experiment and just go through until we figure out what works. Now, I don't want you to think, well, that doesn't leave room for the Holy Spirit. Of course it does. Because while you might not know exactly what will work, enter in with prayer. Enter in thinking, okay, I think I'm hearing to go this way. One of the church leaders that I follow says, sometimes as a leader, you're only like 51% sure that you've heard correctly from the Lord. So in those cases, I'm not talking about the cases where you're 100% sure the earth shook, you heard an audible voice, a dove flew in and landed and spoke to you, any of those things. Look, if Jesus physically shows up and tells you what to do, and you're sure it's him, by the way, then that's different. What I'm talking about is those situations where you're not quite sure, or let's say it could go either way. Why don't you do some A-B testing? So just trying to figure out what actually works, and see what you can do. Now, a lot of this comes from the internet marketing world, and you know that that's where I get some of my ideas. But when they're sending out newsletters, they'll change one thing per newsletter and see if they get a bigger reaction one way or the other. So, for example, what if you send out one new... Let me give you a perfect example from my experience. I was convinced that the best way to get people to open my email would be to give them an enticing headline about what was included. But, just for giggles, I also tested weekly newsletter from trinitydigitalmedia.com for, and then, the date. I thought for sure no one would want to open that. That's a very boring title. Why would you open that? Doesn't make any sense to me. But in testing, I found that quite the opposite is true. In fact, people tended to open the ones that said that they were a newsletter from me and the date about twice as often as the enticing headline that I'd worked really hard on. So in my testing, I'd send 20% to one group of people, 20% to another group of people, or rather, let me say it a different way. So I had, let's say I have 1,000 newsletter subscribers. I would send 200 of them one title, and 200 of them another title, and then the remaining 600 I would send the winner to. Every time, without fail, what happened was people preferred the boring title to the one that I'd worked on. Every time. Didn't matter if I put in a list of things. None of that mattered. It only mattered that I said, hey, this is a newsletter from TrinityDigitalMedia.com for this week. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. As a creative person, I wanted to do something creative, but what works, what works. So why wouldn't I go with what works? So let me give you just some tips on what to go through when you're doing some A/B testing. So first one, you only want to test two variables. So you might think, oh, well, what I'll do is I'll change everything on this one and I'll change everything on that one and they'll be totally different and I'll test those. No, no. Notice in my example that I only tested the headline, what shows up in your email inbox. I didn't test the layout. I didn't test the color scheme. I didn't test bold versus regular text. I didn't test any of that, only the headline. When I tested that, that's when I found it out. Because if you change a bunch of things, it could be that one of the minor things that you tested actually gives you the result, and you just don't think that's true. So you ignore that minor thing, only to find out, test after test later, that the minor thing, like, oh, I changed the color of the text here to red, changing the color of the text actually got people to read it more than changing the headline. So if you change multiple things, you don't know what's caused it. So you need to make it as granular as possible. Secondly, more people in the sample is better. In my example, I said 200 people. 200 is better than 20, which is better than 2. So just the more people that you can involve, the more likely you're going to get an accurate result. So think about it this way. If you write up your church's newsletter, let's keep with that, and you have two versions, and you take one of them to the church secretary and say, which of these two do you like? And he or she points to one. Then you take the other to the worship pastor and you say, which of these two do you like? And the worship pastor agrees with the church secretary and you go with that. It could be that those two people just happen to have the same taste. But it's also possible that they're unusual in their taste. So I guess think of this from a political standpoint. If you just go to two random people off the street, while it's unlikely that they would prefer a libertarian candidate over, say, a Republican or a Democrat, it's possible that you could have just happened, the first two that you happened upon were the only two that you were going to get in a sample of 200, 2,000, 200,000 that believe that way. So a bigger sample size really matters, because these errors tend to they tend to dissipate. So when you see all these polls around politics, pay attention to the sample size and who the sample size is, because if the sample size is 20 Americans, that's going to give you a different result from 20 registered voters, which will give you a different result than 20 likely voters. But all of those will give you different results from 2,000 likely voters. So numbers really matter. And people who are actually interested, that matters as well. Secondly, consider each iteration an experiment. Don't get married to your idea. In my example, I told you that I really thought that the more creative title would give me better results. And if after testing I'd say, well, I don't care what the tests say, they're wrong. Clearly, the more creative result is the way I should go, and I kept on that path, even with evidence to the contrary, I wouldn't have as much engagement. And you really need to think, is your pride getting in the way? Are you thinking, well, I'm a genius, and therefore all these people are wrong? No, that's pride. Stop it. Stop it. You do not want to let pride get in the way. Next, you should also remember that your gut is probably wrong. If you start out with the idea, hey, I'm probably wrong on this, then it's easier to accept when you find out that you are. And it makes you a little happy when you find out you're wrong. So if you go, look, I'm probably wrong on this, but let's try these two, and the one that you prefer comes out, then you feel happy. If you think, I'm probably wrong on this, and the one that you prefer doesn't win, then you go, yep, I was wrong. Glad I tested that. So that's another area where I would keep an eye on your heart. Next, this only test trivial matters. Only test font sizes and colors of text and things that don't matter. I'm not advocating that you go out and you test whether your church should support gay marriage or not. Your church believes certain things. Go with what you believe. I'm not advocating that you go around and you test whether Jesus is God or not. He is. That's like testing whether the sky is blue or the sun is yellow. It's silly to ask a question like that. That's just, so don't test important things that really matter for your core message. Test style. Test how you deliver it. You know, if you're a pastor, test if a shorter message is more engaging, if people react better to it than a longer message. Test how many stories you put in your message. Test how many jokes you put. All that matters. What I mean by it matters, it might matter in retention and how they take action, but it doesn't matter for your core beliefs. I don't want you to test your core beliefs. That's just asking for problems. And I think that this is a place where politicians, I hate that I'm using politics so much as an example, but I think that this is a place where politicians fail. They test their core beliefs. If I give a tax cut, will more people vote for me? What? Either you believe in it or you don't believe in it. Quit testing core beliefs. Only test trivial things. Hey, a red, white, and blue sign? Does that do better than just a blue sign? That matters. Check that. So, and then finally, trust the results, not the loudest voices. This is something we fail at miserably in the church. Miserably. Because people that complain, they seem like they represent a large number. But most people really don't care. So you'll have people that can't, that when you do these testing things, they'll say, ooh, the lyrics were too big on the screen this week. Yeah, don't do that. That's wrong. I'm sure it says it in the Bible somewhere. Yeah, don't do that. But it could be that the vast majority of the congregation actually prefers it. So you need to figure out, where are you hearing the loud voice of the lone dissenter versus the silent majority? Now, it could be that the voice you're hearing is representing the majority, but you don't know that. So don't depend on loud voices. Trust results. So whenever you can, get unbiased numbers. When it comes to email, if you have that ability in your email program to see who opened things versus who didn't, trust that versus one email back going, oh yeah, I hate the new layout. Well, maybe you're the one person that hates the new layout, but everyone else loves it. And I can tell because everybody opened it this time as opposed to 15% of the people last time. 15% of the people opened your preferred layout, 100% opened this one. Huh, which one is it? So, trust results. Don't trust loud voices. So why are we doing this? Well, it turns out that these little seemingly unimportant things matter in people's engagement. One color will draw their attention more than others. A second thing might just cause them to really engage, or it might mean something to them that it doesn't mean to you. Green might mean technology to you, but to your audience it might mean money. So if you have a green article, if you've got an article that uses the color green, your audience might see that as, uh-oh, he wants more money, even though what you're saying is we need to be more technological. So it turns out that these things do matter, and what you want is you don't want to just choose your preferences, because your preferences really don't matter. I mean, seriously. If changing one thing about style impacted one person eternally, is it worth it? If you change the font and that somehow gets someone's attention who wouldn't have noticed before, and they come to your church and they give their life to Christ, even if you hated that font, is it worth it? Yes. So I think that your preferences really shouldn't matter. I think that what matters is what works. And as a tech guy, I love technology, but if tomorrow I found out that a flannel graph worked better than a projector, I'd go with the flannel graph. If I found out that paper newsletters worked better than email, I'd go with paper. It doesn't matter what I prefer. It matters what works for the sake of the kingdom. Not for the sake of my kingdom, but for the sake of the Lord's. So that's why I'm telling you to give it a try. Just to see if your preferences are off. If you're wrong about something, no big deal. Better to fix it now than to and have a better impact than to not fix it and not go out and change eternity. And that's really what I want you to do. So until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.